So let's dive back into the sugyas of Derech Haref. We began to sort of get our bearings last week, and we saw that there are three major issues that the Rishonim were already debating. The discussion of Derech Haref was rooted in Perek HaBasar. This is coming at the tail end of the sugya of Nafarnat, and that sort of sets us up for the first significant point that the Gemara is making about Davar Charef. Because it presented, you remember, the Gemara Kufid Alf and Beis, Kufid Beis and Rav presented a contrast. That while Nafarnat, Dagum Sha'ol B'Kaira are Parav, Dagum Sha'ol B'Kaara, even though they were in the, you had the hot fish and the fleshic plate, the hot fish is still parv and can be eaten with the milchik sauce, the kutach. But by contrast, if you have the radish that was cut with a fleshik knife, so no shechasaka b'shechasacha b'sak and shechatach b'basar, also achol b'kutach. If a davar charef, you have a radish that was cut with a fleshik knife, it is fleshik. You are not allowed to eat it in the milchik sauce. And the Gemara says specifically because it's tzinoah. That's the grass in Kufi Beis and Ralph. If it was a kishus, if it was some sort of squash, then just do some greda. Just do some greda. So all you do is just scrape away the surface, you remove any residue, any the end that's on the surface of the squash, and that's it. And I think what I said later on also, you have lefes, you have another non-sharp vegetable, shari, totally mutter. No concern whatsoever. If it's silk or if it's a sharp vegetable, so then you have a concern, then it's boleya, the flavor of the fleshik knife. So that raised, as we had seen last time, three sort of limning the issues, or lay out the parameters, the dimensions of the issue. The first question, first debate we shown him, the first debate we shown him was why is this any different than Naparnat? Naparnat is mutter, passing like Rav, the Naparnat is passing like Shmuel, the Naparnat is mutter. So how come here is different? And then if it is Boleya, the second question was, how deep does the bleed go? I think we began to touch on that last time. And no pun intended. And then the third question was, what about Ein Ben Yomo? And that had been, that was rooted in the sugya, in one of the sugyas in Avodah Zarah. You'll remember that we saw the series of three Mishnayos towards the end of the second parak of Avodah Zarah. The first two parak of Avodah Zarah talking about different halachos that govern various interactions between Jews and non-Jews. Towards the end of the second parak, you have a series of three mishnayos about items that you might receive or buy from a non-Jew. The first mishnah, Daf Chav Tes, had a list. List number one is those items which are asur b'hana because of a concern of avodah zarah, and then list number two, and Lamed Hey is those items which are Asr Bachila but Mutter Bahana. And then you have the third list, which are those things which aren't even Asr Bachila. So the contrast to list number two. So list number two, one of the all the Machali Akum, which are Asr Bachila, Pas Akum, Bishal Akum, Chalav Akum. And the Mishnah mentions Chid Korot Shel Chiltus. You buy a Asafetida, the sort of exceptionally sharp spice. They would often get minced into small pieces, koret, small pieces of chiltis, so that you get that from the non-Jew. It's not asur b'hana, but it's asur b'achila. It's trait. And the Mishnah, the Gemara had explained in Daf Lamed Tes that the reason why it's treif is because they're cutting it with a treif, a knife. The nachrim, if you buy from a Jewish source, they cut it with a kosher knife, it's kosher. But you have the chiltis that was chopped with by a non-Jew, presumably using his treif knives. So that's going to be a problem. The Gemara says explicitly that despite the fact that I should have assumed that the knife is probably not bana, I have the right to assume that the knife probably wasn't used for tarfus in the preceding 24 hours.
It's not
Ben Yomo. What's that what I said? I'm sorry. It's Ein Ben Yomo. Even though you can assume it's Ein Ben Yomo, but And Eben Yomo is no stam of dam, and therefore shouldn't make treif. But here is a machil l'shvach. The charifus of the chiltas transforms what would normally be a tam l'fgam into a tam l'shvach.
I thought we also
let them
know why the left is
included. Yeah. So that's what we discussed last time. There seemed to be working backwards a couple of interesting powers of Davar Charif. Davar Charif seems to transcend the usual rules of food in the world of the usual parameters in the world of kashrut. So working backwards, item number three is what we just mentioned. That it seems like you have an exception to Eben Yomo. We'll have to think about that and figure that out. Is that true? When is that true? How is that true? And then working backwards, is the second item is how deep this blia goes. Normally, a blia the very fact that there's a blia betzoni at all is a chiddush. And usually when you have bliya b'tzonin, often when you have bliya b'tzonin, it's only partial. Like we said, even when you have heat, chamotoch tzonin is only kidei netila, usually we assume. And even if it's tzli, if you have hot foods touching each other, but there's no liquid and there's no grease, so usually it's only going to be a kidei netila or kidei klipa. It'll be an inch in or a thin layer, and here it's a machlokas arishonim, which we'll come back to soon. How deeply the flavor goes. So that may also be an interesting power of Dara Charif. But let's come back to the first topic. Let's begin again from the first question, which is the question of why is this different than Aparna? And you remember that the conversation begins with Rashi. And Rashi, and we'll come soon also to the question about Lefis. Rashi had already raised this question, how come all of a sudden here the Naparnat is a problem? And Rashi had made two suggestions. The first suggestion was, it's because it's a knife as opposed to the plate. The second suggestion was, it's because it's snow, which is harf, as opposed to fish. The first suggestion was, it has nothing to do with with Davar Charif. Davar Charif is why there's blia, but the reason why there's any blia whatsoever is because the reason why it's not naparnat is because, unlike plates, we're not convinced that the knives are clean. We're not convinced. We assume there's probably some grease in the knife, if not mamish gobs, but at least it's going to be some sort of film. We're not convinced that you got the knife clean. We don't, unlike a plate, we don't assume that the knife's necessarily sparkling clean. So Rashi says, "Some emela. This is tamen amamish. It's not naparnat. The tzinnon is being boleh directly from the fleshik of grease, the fleshik of film on the knife. So that's a tamishin. So that's not naparnat. The chiddush of Davar Charif, according to the first pshat Rashi, is that there's any blia whatsoever. If I cut it, what do you have here? All you have is a cold item touching another, a cold vegetable touching cold grease on a knife." So you have duchat zakina, but duchat zakina alone, just pressure, doesn't cause blia. But you have the combination of pressure and davar charif, so that causes the blia. So that chiddush you definitely have, even according to the first Pirush Rashi. The fact that there's blia b'tzonin at all, that's a chiddush. And agav chorfei b'ala, that's the Gemara says. But it's not an aparnat. It's the combination of the sharpness of the radish and the pressure of the knife or perhaps of a fork. And there's grease there, so that combination drives the flavor of the fleshik residue, the fleshik be'en, into the tznon. That's the first approach of Rashi. The second approach of Rashi is no. Maybe the knife is clean. Even if the knife is clean, it's still going to be a problem. Why? Because Davar Charif not only has a chiddush of bliya b'tzonin, Davar Charif also overcomes not by not. I said last time, the second pshat is certainly similar, to, perhaps informed by this Gemara and Lama Tess, that the Davar Charif can ramp up the Bliya in the sense that that although it's a nos tam v'kam, all of a sudden now it's a nos tam l'shach, and somewhat similar, not identical, but somewhat analogously, it ramps up what's a very weak blia, a not barat, and makes a kilu, it's a tam rishon. It makes a ke'ilu, it's a tam rishon. So where the Rishonim fall on this? So Rashi gives two approaches. So what does everyone else think? So I think we began to explore where the Rishonim are. Let's pick up with that. So on the one hand, you have a Tosis. You have a Tosis Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Who talks about a clean knife? Imasakin Makunach. The knife is clean and it's an Eino Ben Yomo. We'll get back to soon. Tosis comes to this issue of how do we apply Eino Ben Yomo, but he's comfortable assuming the knife is clean. Since Eino Ben Yomo, we have to figure out does Davar Charif overcome Eino Ben Yomo? He points out that seems to be the simple meaning of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Imasakin Makunach, Eino Ben Yomo, Ichufur Tetu Machil Shvach. You got to think about that. It's a simple reading of the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. What the question even is, isn't it an open shot Gemara? We'll get to that when we move forward to the issue of Eino Ben Yomo. But for now, Tosis is assuming that your classic scenario is a Sakan and Makunach. The knife is clean. And yet, we're concerned with Nesinas Tam. So Tosis, Kuf Yud Beis, appears to be on the side of the second approach of Rashi. The Ra'ah in the Bedekah, on the side of the in his Bedekah Bais, on the side of the Raj Bataras Bais, clearly assumes, like the first approach of Rashi, he says, if the knife is clean, if you talk to have a clean knife, and you take a clean fleshic knife, you cut onions apart. The whole issue is only like the Rashi said in the first Bedekah, it's only a question of where it's dirty. Now the Rashbah himself, in the Taras Bais, has an interesting back and forth. He has an interesting back and forth. He lays out in the classic edition, it's Dalet Amud Aleph, in the beginning of Shar Dalet, Taras HaBayis. He lays out, you have this whole two pshat in Rashi, and he initially thinks we should say the first pshat in Rashi. But the issue is, if it's not Barnad, it's Taka Parv. The issue is that we assume the Sakan is not clean. But then he asks Akasha, he says, maybe I should say it the second pshat in Rashi. And why? Because he says, what are you going to do, the question that Nathan had mentioned, what are you going to do with this, he said, the kilcha delifta is shari, it's mutter. Right? Again, the Gemara had said that if you're cutting stone, it's agav churfei bal, right? But if it's kishus, so then they just scrape away the surface. Garir or garid lebeis paske, that's even less than klipa. That's even less than, just to explain, grade does even less than klipa, because klipa means, doesn't have to be a whole inch deep like a David Tila, but klipa means thick enough that you get a peel that hangs together. So thick enough that it holds together. Grade, that means you're just scraping. So you haven't taken off. It's not even thick enough to get a layer that holds together. You just scrape. So by the time you're done, you've scraped the whole surface, but very, very thin. That means you're just trying to remove. You're not assuming there's any blia whatsoever. You're just trying to remove whatever may be on the surface. So then we said, but if you're cutting. Kilcha de lifta shari, the silkasi, if you're cutting selek, which is a sharp vegetable, so then it's a problem. It's bolea, the flesh of gablia from the knife.
Excuse me, do we know what selek is or silka? Because if not in Hebrew, that's a beet.
Yes, it's not, I forget. I think it's another type, I think it's assumed to be another type of ranch, something sharp. Yeah, beets are not.
However, the shach, no, the taz brought in borscht at one of, and that's a. He mentions borscht in Gimel in the Gimel, and that's clearly a beet drink.
Right. So I don't know whether
that. I thought that maybe that. I wasn't sure either about the beet thing, but then when he mentioned the borscht, was like, that has to be, he mentioned there's a Russian drink called borscht, and that's charif. So I figured that has to be beets then.
So I'm not, I'm from the wrong generation to know much about borscht. I don't know if any of us are from the right generation to know much about borscht, maybe. You know, whatever the borscht experience. So I don't know whether it's some beets taka are sharper, or it's that you soak them, you pickle them in vinegar. Just like we assume that pickles are davar charif, pickled cucumbers, even though fresh cucumbers are not davar charif, but they soak in salt water or they soak in vinegar, so then we assume they become a davar charif. Yes, I'm not sure what the story is with the borscht. Got to do some Hamish. Got to go back to the old country and do some, to Williamsburg, or Coney Island, do some research. So the question is, what's with the lifter? So he said, you have this lifter, it's mutter. So what do you mean shari? What do you mean shari? So the Rashba says, I don't understand. It's mutter. If you have a dirty knife and you're cutting vegetables with a greasy, fleshic knife, so of course you have to remove the residue on the surface. So he says, how does the Gemara say it's just mutter? Mutter sounds like there's no concern of residue whatsoever. So he says, there must be like the second pshat, the second pshat in Rashi. That the knife is totally clean. The problem is that there are blias and the davar charif could draw out the blias. So how come by the kishos you have to do greda? So that you'll say, Nachanami, it's because it's such a moist vegetable, so maybe it is, even without being the davar charif, is bolei a drop. The surface has to be scraped off. Maybe. But then the Rashba comes around and says, no. I think ultimately comes to the conclusion, step three, he goes back to shot number one in Rashba. He says, no, we are talking about a dirty knife. I think Gemara said, lift a shari. So this meant shari. It's understood that, of course, if there's something on the surface, you have to scrape off the surface. You have to clean the surface. That's Dara Pasha. So that's Dara Pasha. We know that from other sugyas. We know from the beginning of the parak. The shari means there's no obliya to deal with. I by a line before, by the kishas, we specified greda. Said, yeah, that's because over there, we know it's a davar pasha, it's a given that if you're dealing with a dirty kli, of course you're going to have to rinse the surface. If you have lefes, which is a hard vegetable, you have to rinse it. The chiddush of kishas was that because it's a soft, moist vegetable, rinsing isn't going to help. If anything, rinsing may drive whatever's on the surface deeper in. So by the kishas, because it's such a soft, moist vegetable, you got to do greda. So that the Gemara needed to specify. But the fact that the lift needs to be rinsed off, that's Yadua, that's Dara Pashat, and Shari meant Shari with Hadach. That takes us back to Daf Kuf Zayin.
Does anybody say that
what's that? With the Tzara Adam Basar Gvina, right? You can, the Mishnah said the bottom Kuf Zayin and Beis, right before the famous Mishnah Tipas Chalav, the Mishnah said you could wrap, you have the milchus and fleishik, the meat and the cheese, in the same cloth, as long as they're in a way they don't touch each other. If they do touch each other, the Gemara said, so you don't have to do klipa because there's no blia, but you're hadacha miyabai. You're going to have to rinse it. So he says, hadacha, that's a given. We mention kishos because instead of hadacha, you need to do greda. That's the only way to successfully clean the surface. And then the tznon, that's agav korfei bol, it's actually boleya. To some extent or another, again, machlokes rishonim, which we'll get back to, how deeply, kede klipa, kede netila, or bakulo, but there's an actual blia. So that's, when all the dust settles, the Rashba and the Ra'ah, even though they disagree on so much, are both aligned with each other, following the first pshat in Rashi, that a clean knife makes no issues with onions. And the issue is the knife is dirty. That's the maskana you get to if you read through the whole Torah's Vayas Aruch. And if you just look at the Torah's Vayas HaKatzer, that leaves out all the shock of the Tariya. Because that's what he's trying to do. Tariq Baisakash just gives you the Lamaisa. And he says, the concern is that Bolea min Ashamnuna Shenikra Shalasaka. So that's it. Tosis lines up with the second Pshat of Rashi. There's actually it's drawing out the Blias Kalim. The Rashba and the Ra'ah are both lined up with the first Pshat and Rashi. That's only if the knife is not clean. Let's take a question, and then I want to see one more point that Rishonim make it. The Mishmeres Habayis has an interesting ride. Yeah.
I was asking if any of the Rishonim say it left requires greatness.
Yeah.
You said Hadacha.
Yeah.
The choice is Hadacha or
not. Right, those are the choices we give so far. Yeah. You say the grade is across the board. So then the question is, why do we change the language? We just said by Kishas we said Garir or Garid, and by the Lifter we say Shari. So if it was two different statements, so one was a Tana, one was an Amor, or two different Amorams, so you might have said, you know, one was giving you the details, and the other one was just saying Asar Mutter. But this sounds like it's one long memra. So I think that's why the Rishonim are assuming that there's a contrast being drawn between the Greda of the Kishas and the Shari of the Lifter. The question was, Shari means do nothing? Or Shari means, of course, I have to do Hadacha if it's dirty, but beyond that, you do nothing. Yeah.
The first pairs of Rashi, the Sakina, is that relevant? Or is it only because of the Shamanus? Is it the combination of Shamanus and Duchta the Sakina? Or just.
Interesting question. He's saying, let's say I just took some grease and I rub it on an onion.
Or you put it down, but on down on a greasy,
put it on a greasy plate. The greasy spoon. Like right, the greasy spoon is spoons are not duchas sakina. Right? If you spoon out the horseradish, that's darachar, but then duchas sakina.
Like we talked last week, 2 weeks ago, with the Gemara and Avodah Zarah about the shechita,
The Gemara Daf Ches had seen Duchat de Sakina as an independent.
Causes its own heat.
Right, that was together with the heat that's being generated. So, so Usher is asking the opposite. Let's say you have Davar Harif alone. I don't think so. Davar Harif alone may drive some of the other items. Davar Harif alone is going to give you the chiddush, if you hold like the second Shai Rashi, will give you this chiddush of that not Bernardo's answer, even if it's not Duch HaSakina, it's some other method of time transfer. And Davar Harif alone was going to give you this, perhaps, give you this chiddush of Eina Ben Yomo, assuming that is true. Tos is not sure, we have to figure why he's not sure. Some put in the Gemara and the Ozar Lama test. Once again, even if it's without Duch HaSakina, some other method of time transfer, Davar Harif, you're heating onions in a fleshic pan, a yabayon pan, that's going to be a problem. But I think for the B'liya B'tzonein, I believe both Lashonos assume that it's in combination with Sakina. I think. But again, one more point in terms of the back and forth of whether to assume like the first Pshat Rashi or second Pshat Rashi. So the Mishmeres Habayis, I think I might have mentioned in passing last week, you know, there's some debate about who wrote the Mishmeres Habayis. It doesn't appear under the name of the Rashba. There were those who assumed that was Rashba was anonymously, you know, defending himself against the attacks of the Berak Habayis. And others say that it can't be it's a Rashba, because often he says things that are inconsistent with the Rashba himself. He often attacks the Berak Habayis even, but doesn't necessarily defend the Torah's advice. And here is an example, because Rashba clearly comes to the conclusion in Torah's advice, and he makes it clear, as you said a moment ago, Torah's advice are katzer. He assumes like the Ra'ah to accept the first Pshat and Rashi. And the Mishmeres Habayis does not. The Mishmeres Habayis actually is a very, very fascinating raya. He points us to a Gemara, the last Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The very last Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Ayin Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara tells a striking story. If you go to the Met, the Metropolitan Museum in Manhattan, you can find I believe it's made out of silver, the face, impression of the face of Shapur II, Persian emperor, who was, the Gemara tells us in several places, Shmuel, the Amor Shmuel, had a relationship with Shavur Malka, Shapur II. And this is one of the particularly striking stories of Shmuel and Shavur Malka, the very end of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara tells Ki hard the mark. I take that back. In my head, this is a story with Shmuel, but it's not a story with Shmuel. This is a story with Shavar Malka and Shmuel's Talmud, Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says that Shavar Malka, Mar Yehuda, and Bati ben Tu Bar Tuvi have Yasri Kameh to Shavar Malka. Amor Rav Yehuda and another Jew by the name of Bati Bar Tuvi, who, as we're about to find out, was not quite as religious as Rav Yehuda, so they were together, spending time together with King Shapur, Shavar Malka. Aisul Kameh Esroga. And the servants, presumably, bring out an esrog. And Shavar Malka, they must have a very warm relationship. Shavar Malka is slicing the esrog for his guests. Doesn't sound like typical royal protocol. So he takes his knife, pasak v'yachal, he cuts some for himself. And then pasak v'havle bati bar tuvi, he cuts another slice, hands it to bati bar tuvi. And then, hadar datza asar zimni bi'ara, then he takes a knife and sticks it 10 times in the ground. Ni'itza betarka to clean the knife and pasak havle lemar Yehuda. And he uses the now clean knife to cut a slice of esrog for Yehuda. He doesn't want to cut him the knife with a cut him a slice of esrog with a tray for knife. So Bati Bar Tuvi says to the king, apparently they were very comfortable with each other. Amali Bati Bar Tuvi to take Shavar Malka, who gavra lav bar Yisrael. And the other one, mean me, I'm not Jewish. So Amalei, Mar Kim Livigave, Mar Lo Kim Livigave. I know that he's religious. I don't know that you're so religious. I know that he's very Machmir Hilchos Kashrus. I'm not sure you're so Machmir Hilchos Kashrus. In the Gemara is another version, Ikadamri, that Shavar Malka knew that Bati Bar Tuvi the night before had been flagrant violation of the Halachas of Arayos. So he said, and Rav Yehuda had been Nizar. He says, I know that he's religious. I know that you're not so religious. Don't pull shtick. Don't try to pose and pretend. So historically, very fascinating story. And this is where the Gemara presents the idea of Ni'itza Bekarka. That's what the story follows. The Gemara had understood that that's what the Mishnah on Ayin Hem Beis is. A hasak in shafa v'hi Torah. You rub a knife clean, and then it's a kosher. So the guard explained, you take the knife, and you put it, you run it through hard-packed soil 10 times, in and out, and the friction is sort of like, it's like using steel wool, except the soil, hard-packed soil will be your steel wool, right? Safer on the fingers. This idea of Nitzah Bekarka is a way of cleaning the surface of the knife. There's an urban, this does not kosher. There is an urban legend out there. Sometimes you see the elder babas, you show up and they have the spoons planted in the, we've all seen that, the spoons planted in the flower pots. So that's a misunderstanding. That's an urban legend based on this. Here, the Gemara doesn't say if you stick in the soil.
You leave it there for a year and then it's good?
Right. So there's a sort of idea out there. We leave it in the soil long enough, like kosher things. That's not at all what the Gemara is saying. You want a kash, you have to hagala or leave them. But the Gemara says, if you want to clean the surface, usually there are easier ways to clean the surface of a kli. But if you have a knife and you're not ready, you don't want to risk your fingers, and you don't have running hot water and detergent and our type of sponges, so then ni'itza bakarka is a way to effectively clean the surface of the knife. But sticking the spoon in the soil, leaving it there, is not only not better, it's worse. You haven't done anything. The whole point is it's the rubbing in and out that at least doesn't kosher, at least cleans the surface. The Gemara says, I'll give some of the details earlier. Asar pa'adim, karka kasha, has to be hard-packed soil, 10 times in and out, and it has to be sakin yafish ein bagumas. It has to be a relatively smooth knife. If there are a lot of grooves, so then you're not going to, the soil's not necessarily going to clean out all the grooves. So the Mishmar Sabai says, he says, why are we taking a davar pasha that knives aren't clean? How do you square chulin kuf yud aleph with avodah zarah daf ayin vav? And a mishnah, the gemara on ayin vav is interpreted the mishnah and hey, we're not assuming that knives are automatically uncleanable. Yeah, sakin sheish bagumas may be uncleanable, but then sakin sheish bagumas, which again is the Mishnah had referred to as just sakin, the default case of sakin, was Sakin Shein Bagumos, that is cleansable, effectively, that can be halachically cleansed through Nitzah Bakarka. So the Mishmeres Habayi says, how do you then say that Kufir Aleph, Sakin Shechotach Babasar, automatically, Stam Sakin is Shonuz Karshlov? What happened to Nitzah Bakarka? So the Mishmeres Habayi thinks that the premise of the Rashi's first shot is in contradiction to the closing sugya of Avodah Zarah. So that's what he says.
Why is it contradiction? Because
what? The Gemara Ein Vav in Avodah Zarah interprets the Mishnah Ein Hey that you can clean knives. You can clean knives in Yitzhak Karka.
You can clean it, but if you didn't clean them, you cut it.
In a Hanami. But the question is...
You're saying according to the first shot in Rashi, what would have happened if I would have cleaned the knife first?
Right. In other words, why are we assuming that the knife is... Rashi is saying the plate, we assume stam plates are clean. Right. We assume the stam knives are not clean
right. Because
it's probably shabnunis. Why could it's hard to clean a knife? The Mishmeres Habayi says, well, I don't understand.
Well, so in that case,
it's pekarka.
He was willing to cut the vegetables or whatever it was he was cutting, right, without doing anything. And then for the Jewish guy, for the firm guy, he made sure to clean that. So the normal use of knives in those days was to assume that, you know, even if there's a little shamus, I'm going to cut anyway. But if you're from, then you would be clean it first. So Rashi assumed that there was no cleaning going on here.
It sounds like a writer to the first part.
Yeah,
because the only thing he's concerned.
You say in the royal kitchen, the knife wasn't clean.
Yeah.
The knife they bring out to the emperor of Persia was greasy.
But the only thing he's concerned about is shamnunis. He's not concerned about bleels.
Right. Well,
the esrog is
l'chora not a davar harf.
That was going to be the next question.
Apparently, we're assuming the esrog is not a davar harf. I mean, we don't know where Yehuda responded. Yehuda may have said, well, actually, thank you, but it didn't help. But the simple understanding is that Esrog is not Davar Harav. That may also be a support for the Teimani Esrogim that are not as sharp. But that's a separate conversation. That's a good point. I guess that maybe that's how the other Rishonim. I didn't come across Rishonim who would respond to this, but in a Hanami, maybe that's the response is Adrav. You see the knives, even the royal knives, were filled. But let me push back. In a Hanami, it's also true that in the royal kitchen there was only one set of dishes. But even the one of the wealthiest kitchens in the world had only one set of dishes, whereas a simple Jew has two sets of dishes. Why? Because a simple Jew is fancier than the Persian emperor? No, because a simple Jew needs it. A simple Jew is keeping kasher, so he has two sets of dishes. So, but who had nami in a chanami? So you're right. You make a sharp point that no pun intended. That I'm sorry. I didn't even hear that until after I heard it. You make a fine point that the implication of the Gemara is that knives, even in a very respectable context, would often have some shamnunis on them. On the other hand, the chanami, so that in non-kosher context, they're not going to be careful. But here we're talking about a firm kitchen. Kuf Yudal, we're talking about a firm kitchen. So why are you assuming that the knives... why is assuming that
you have plastic knives and milk this knife, but you didn't clean the knife? You can't clean the knife. It's not so easy. That's what she says.
In other words, the royal knives were so fine that they were high quality. You put them in, you know, no grooves, nothing at all, and so the karka works.
I think the karka works
for the average.
No, but you see from the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah that the stam sakin is ein bagumos, because again the Gemara in Ayin Vav Amud Beis specifies and has a brisa, it has to be dafka sakin ein bagumos, but that's how we're interpreting the stam sakin in the Mishnah. So I'm not sure that the ein bagumos is, but you also might say echanami if you need to, so then you do need to bakarka. But normally you have your milchik knife, your fleshik knife, and you don't clean them as carefully. Maybe okay. So I guess that'll be the pushback. That will be the pushback. So that's issue number one. They're definitely Rishonim Lakan and Lakan. They're definitely Rishonim Lakan and Lakan on this question whether it's a shamnunis on the surface or whether it's what's being niflat, from within. And then the second question is a question of, you know, how deeply is this blia going?
And it's not.
Yeah. So the Rashba here in Taras Levi says it's blia bakulo. I'll prove it to you. He says Karshel Hiltus. We didn't say you buy Karshel Hiltus from a Nachri, you gotta shave off the first layer. We didn't say that. I have memories. My grandparents' place, summer place in Ulster County. So the next door neighbor, a very sweet non-Jewish woman, Gladys, and she was very proud of her zucchinis, I think they were. So I have this like distinct memory as a little kid. She had brought over, she had this like prize-winning, like hat, a massive, must have been like, I don't know, like 3, 4, 5 inches wide zucchini. So she brought over, it was enormous. She brought over half a zucchini as a present for my grandmother. So I have this distinct memory as a little kid that she, my grandmother, cut off a first slice and threw that out and used the rest. So why not say, so Rashba says, why don't we say that in Avodah Zarah? Why are you throwing out the you can't buy the Karshel Chutzis from the Nachri? Why not get the Karshel Chutzis and then take off the first Kedei Netila? Take off the first Kedei Klipa. That's not the Mashmaos of the Mishnah, is that it's totally off limits. So it sounds like it must be Bliya Bekulo. So that's what the Rashba says. He does present. He starts by saying the Ravid, who was a generation or two before him, it's a Kedei Netila. It's a Kedei Netila. Like as is the case by perhaps by Tzli, you have the heat but no fluid. You just have like hot meat touching something else. So the Ravid thought, the Huadinami over here, it's the same as the hot meat, but it's not in a pot, it's not with liquids, so it should be Kedei Netila. And the Rashba says, no, I think it should be Bliya Bekulo, because otherwise how do you understand the assumption of Avodah Zarah that the Chiltus is totally treif? And then the Rush is in the other extreme. The Rush says, I think it's only Kedei Klipa. He quotes Rabbeinu Baruch Bala Truma, one of the early Bal Yatosa, said it's just Kedei Klipa. That's the minimum, like Chamul Tov Tzonin, just Kedei Klipa. Not even Kedei Netila, which is an inch. Just instead of just thick enough that it hangs together as a single peel. And the Rush responds to the Rashba's Kasha. He says there are two answers to this question. How come the Chiltus is totally treif? Doesn't that prove that there's a Bliya Bekulo? The Teretz number one, the Rush says, he says, you're right. The Chiltus is all treif, but we say it's a Korachel Chiltus. You're not buying chunks of Asafetida. You're not buying a big chunk of Chiltus. They sell them. Apparently, it's incredibly powerful stuff. So they sell it. It's grown in Afghanistan or in India. So it's being transported to Eretz Yisrael. Matanam were choosing to not buy it when it was for sale in Eretz Yisrael. Being sold by non-Jews, so they said it was minced, it was diced, it was Korchel Chiltus. So the Rush says, yeah, it's only a Kedei Klipa, but if it's chopped finely, everything's within a Klipa of the knife. Sort of like, you know, the one found in the neighborhood, they have a pan for making kugel or brownies or whatever you want. Instead of just being a rectangular pan, it has metal bars that go in, so it's all a zigzag. For people who like only the edges. Like, if you have a family, everyone only wants the edges. So what you can do in the middle? So you have the bars in the middle, so everything is an edge. But the Rush says, that's Karshel Chiltus. Everything is within the klipa, because it's cut so finely. So everything is the klipa. It's in the chanami, it's a Karshel Chiltus. You can't touch it. But if you have a big tzanon, it just was one cut. So then just take off a gedein teel and you're fine. That's one response to the Rashba's Ra, yeah? And then the other response is a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah. Tosfos Azara raises a different take a look at Tosfos and Avodah Zarah Lama Tesam Ralph. Agav Churfei Dechiltisa. Havale Kenosin Tam L'Shvach. The Tosfos raises this question. They're already raising the question of the Rashba, but from the other direction. Im Tomei says, why are we throwing out the Chiltis? Liskele Beklipa, Kedama Gabi Shachta Besakin Treva, a Klipa. So the Rashba says, we said here it's Treva, so obviously it's not just a Klipa. The Tosfos is assuming it's a Klipa. Like Rabbeinu Baruch, like the Rosh, and says, well, what's going on here? So his answer is not that it's a dak-dak, but he says that churfe yesh lomer de churfe de chultisa bala tfei v'lo sage beklipa. He says there are different levels of davar charev. There's davar charev, there's tsunon, and then there's chultis.
Wasn't that lishitaso? The Tosfos holds the Charif is the reason, and the Rashba holds that Shamamunis is the problem. So, more or less, Shitaso, that's why the Rashba has to give a different answer. He can't say the Charif is. He doesn't believe the Charif is the reason. It's just Shamamunis is the problem. So, my only way to get around the Shamamunis is the problem is it's cut fine. That's why the knife had to cut every part. Shamamunis hit everything. Charifus wouldn't be enough. But the Tosfos holds Charifus. We just said Tosfos here says Charifus is the issue. So that's why he's saying is, how do I get around it's not a Shamunis issue, so Dak-Dak isn't the problem. It's because this is even a higher level Charifus. That's why it's spread through the whole thing, because the Charifus is the issue.
Maybe. That's interesting. You're saying Tosfos here, and Avodah Zarah is Lushitasam with Kofiyud Beis. Yeah, now again, even the Rashba, that's fascinating, even the Rashba holds like Pirush Aleph and Rashi, it's still true that Charifus is causing the Bliya.
I mean, you have to have something, because the
Gemara says Charifus. But it's not as much of a Kiddush, right?
The Charifus plays more of a role. Something that you can't that's completely true. Ignore Charifus. But the reason why is the Shamamun is
part. Yeah, that is true. Now, this idea, and then Tosfos actually talks about it. How about if I have a butzah or kafla, let's say I have onions, they were chopped with a non-Jewish knife. So he says maybe there also it's not enough to have a kalipa. Bishamati b'shem Haram, who that is, some. One of the Baitoses whose name started with a mem. Maybe we'll figure out who it is. The dechiltis adavka. It's only chiltis. Charv tvevel a butzah or kafla. It says this as a fedida, this chiltis, unusually sharp. If you look at Indian cooking websites, this stuff, apparently, chiltis is incredibly potent. They talk about like using it with very, very sparingly. Some of the websites talk about it's toxic if you have more than a couple of grams. I don't know. I'm not sure what would possess one to want to use this. But it is apparently, the recipes, they use the tiniest, minute amounts of this chiltis. So apparently, it really is a whole other level of charif. So Tosfos here is saying that it could be the regular davar charif is just a klipa. It's dafke chiltis. The Rosh had said the chiltis is all asu because it is all a klipa because it's diced so finely. Tosfos is suggesting it's all chiltis is super charif, and that the Maharam of Rutenberg writes in the Tshuva that maybe this Ram, maybe Maharam of Rutenberg. I suppose one of the earlier, sometimes Ram could be like Rabbeinu Moshe Me'evra, one of the Baitosis. But this may be a reference to Rabbeinu Meir of Rothenberg, Maharam Rutenberg. He writes in a tshuva that may also be the super harifas of Chiltis may be relevant not only to how deeply the belief of the travels, if it's a Kedei Klipa, Kedei Netilo, or Kedei Kulo, but also the question of Ein Ben Yomo. Remember, Tosfos had, going back to that Tosfos in Chulin Kufi Beis, had raised the issue, well, Tosfos had said, right, well, Yitzarach the Ein Ben Yomo, the end of Tosfos. Yichur for the two machel l'shvach. The question is, what's Tosfos a Shaila? It's a B'Tayr Shigemara. that Davar Charif is machil shvach, and the ene ben yomo is nivla unto davar charif is katakin to make treif. So what's the tzarach in? Well, as the Gemara says, yes, the Gemara says it. So what's the question? So if the Rabbeinu Baruch, I believe this is also quoted by the Rosh, Rabbeinu Baruch says, it's aser, nothing to talk about. And the other tzad, the Rosh quotes, it is Rosh. Rosh quotes his Rebbe Rosh, by Rebbe, the Mar Rotenberg, raised the possibility that maybe if we're just talking as Tosis is talking about by Schumann creation of Betzalim, by garlic and onion, maybe garlic and onion ene ben yomo is going to remain mutter. I the Gemara said beferish and avodah zarah that's machlo l'shvach. See, as Maram says, yeah, maybe that's only by chiltis, which is super super harf. So the same idea floating around of the super harf. The Maram sounds like he wasn't ready to actually be makel. It raises as a possibility. Maybe the Gemara of Avodah Zarah that says Ein Binyan was a problem, but yeah, it's only by Chiltzis because of the unusual Churfa. But he wasn't. That's probably what Tosis is raising anonymously. This question.
But wouldn't you take the Gemara here and say the Sinon and the Silka have to be something there too? Or no? The Gemara in Chulin is.
Right, so that's what. So this idea of the Maram would say there are two different sugyas of davar harif. There's tzanon and silka, which is mild harif, and then that's the sugya in chulin. It's tzanon and silka, and then there's a sugya of odazara of the super harif chiltus. Okay. And don't mix the sugyas because they're talking about two different levels of things. There's mild harif and the super harif. Like in the world of hot peppers, which is not necessarily the same as harif, but there's jalapenos, and then there's like the scotch and the scotch nut, scotch the drink, real sharp scotch peppers are like a whole other level of heat.
But then would you put the ones that aren't even listed, like the onion, garlic, and...
So that's what Tosis is clarity
about.
Third
level then?
So that's Tosis in Avodah Zarah was actually clarifying that. Yesh mefarshim, that the batzel and kafalot also klipa is not enough, and it's the same as chiltus. I mean, no. No, chiltus is a world unto itself. So, but that's again this approach of the Maharam and maybe some of the other Baitosmas is maybe there are two different sugyas. There's mild charif and there's heavy duty charif. And the mild charif, yes, the mild charif, you have the chidushim and chul. There is bliya betzonein, and according to the second Pirush Rashi, it overcomes not by not. But then you'd say, but the other chidushim that.
You know, almost like the Rosh would agree with the Maram feels like the Rosh would agree when you're dealing with that super Harif, then Harifa does work. It's only the Shamamunis was the issue when you're dealing with the not as Harif. Maybe,
but again, I'm not sure you have a riot to that. In other words, I'm not sure there's a. Well, what you see from the chidushin that emerge, the chidush that emerges from chulin is number one, there's a bliya betzonein, and perhaps that it overcomes not par not. I don't think there's more raya that you overcome not par not in Avodah Zarah because we don't know if the knives are clean or not, right. And it's not a kosher kitchen. So then, as you've said before, there's no reason to assume the knives are clean. But the chidushin you have in Avodah Zarah is number one, ein ben yomo still makes treif. And also this ha'or of the Rajba that Lahore did the Mashmos is a Bliya Bakulo. So again, you could have the response of the Rosh that it's not Mashmos Bliya Bakulo. Or you could say, like the Rajba, that, hey, Echami, Tzavachar is always Bliya Bakulo. Or you could say, let's be Machal the two sukkahs. Lower level Harv is just Bliya Betzonein, but just Kadei Klipa, and it's only if it's the Ben Yomo. And if it's a higher level, if it's a higher level chiltus, so then already is bliya bakulo, not just kedek klipa, and it's going to even be ene ben yomo. So there is such an approach in Rishonim. We'll have to see. So now we really unpacked the three issues more thoroughly. Now again, number one, the issue of does davar harv definitely bliya betzonein, but does it even overcome nap or not? Suffolk and Rashi, and now we saw. The much more the argumentation we've shown him, the shittos and the argumentation. You have Tosis and Chulin and the Mishmeres Habayis that supports the second view of Rashi, that yes, it is not brought iron to overcome. Then you have the Rashba who say, no, it's not. We saw some of the rise back and forth, they got the handle. And then the second question of how deep does the Bliya go, whether in the three sheets is in Rishonim, whether it's the Raiva and Raz Kedei Natila, then the Rashba is on the one extreme, the Bliya Bakulo, and Rabbi Nebaruch and the Rosh, the other extreme is only Kedei Klipa. And then the third issue of Eina Ben Yomo, which again, it seems to be fair to Gemara, but again, what the thread that runs through the second and third issues is to what extent do the two sugyas speak to each other? The sugya of Ozar Lamates and the sugya Chul Kavyal Kavyabez, should I suggest that there are two levels of Harifas and I can't bring rise one to the other? Most Rishonim did not assume that way. The Rashba clearly was comfortable bringing rise to one. Most Rishonim we saw did bring rise one to the other. The Rashba brought a raya, and the Rosh said, there's no raya because it's all Kedei Klipa. Right? So neither one is assuming that I'm being mechalik between the two. But there is this, and Rabbi Nebaruch clearly was not mechalik between the two. Most Rishonim were not mechalik between the two, but there is this idea of the Maharam that does get quoted in multiple Tosas, and at least as a possibility. It does seem to be the dominant view of the Tosin in Avodah Zarah, and it seems like it's part of the underlying suffix of the Tosin in Chum. So that this idea is out there, the Reshim Mechalik. The Mitzvah next time will be read. Now that we have the issues laid out in Rishonim, and now we're ready to open Shulchan Aruch and see Sahara Vipaskin on all of these moving parts. Yeshkech.